you to remember what I've said, what the scriptures say, and then also you can take it home and review it. You know, I've kind of gotten spoiled in having notes, because when I go to other services or other teaching and there's no notes there, I'm feeling like I'm only catching part of it. I don't know. That's just me, I guess. But I found that I'm not really good at taking notes with a blank piece of paper here. I find myself writing so much, and then after a while, I just stop writing, and I just listen. But having these things, it, for me, has been really helpful, and I hope that it is for you, too. So we're going to look at this morning a book of Proverbs again, but we're going to do a topic that is something that most people like to talk about, and that's their finances. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, I make so much a month. Would you do that? No, I'm kidding. No. See, I just got a rise out of you right there. We don't like to talk about money, do we? But it is very much a part of our life. It's a very important part of our life. And God wants us to be able to manage our finances in a way that will glorify Him. So the resources that we have are used in a way that's pleasing to Him, because it is a very important part of our life. It represents our life in many ways. That money is what I spent my time doing. I spent so many hours a week, and I got this money for spending my time doing that. So it's really a part, it's my life. This money represents some of my life. And God wants me to use this in a way that would be pleasing and glorifying to Him. Now here's an interesting scripture. Proverbs 27 and verse 23 and 24. It says this, "Be sure you know how your sheep are doing, and pay attention to the condition of your cattle. Riches will not go on forever." In other words, he's trying to speak here to the people of that time. And of course, they were, it's an agricultural kind of economy. Oh, thank you so much. It's an agricultural economy, so they're not saying, watch your savings account and make sure you're checking and your credit cards. It's saying, watch your sheep and pay attention to the condition of your cattle. Why? Because if you don't pay attention to these things, you can find your sources of money, your sources of wealth, your source of income could be compromised. And you may be wealthy and you may be very secure at one time. If you don't pay attention to it, there's no guarantee that it's going to be secure forever. It's something that has to be managed. So they would check and make sure they knew what the condition of their sheep were, that they're not sick or ill or they're not malnourished or they're taken care of and they're placed in a secure place. They would make sure that these things were secure and make sure that their cattle were doing well, because that's was their income. That was their livelihood that supported them. So the same thing, here's the same principle. We need to manage our finances. If you don't manage your finances, you can find your life out of control. You can find your life going in directions that you didn't want it to go. You could find your life not turning out the way you had anticipated, because you did not take care of them like you should. Now, one of the things you do if you're going to manage your finances, you have to plan your spending. Plan your spending. Proverbs 14:8 says, "The wise man looks ahead. The fool attempts to fool himself and won't face the facts." So you need to face the future. You need to look to the future, look ahead. And part of that looking ahead is planning. Planning is looking ahead. I was thinking about driving. I don't know why I was thinking about driving. Maybe because one of my daughters wants to drive. I'm not sure. But I was thinking about driving. And I was thinking about those twists and turns that you get in some places, you know. And I said, well, that fits with the twists and turns of life. Sometimes there's things that you just don't, you know, it doesn't go just in a straight line really easy. There's these twists and turns that you have to navigate. So I'm thinking, okay, what is it about driving those twists and turns? Oh, well, if I have a focus 2 feet in front of the car, you ever try to drive that way and go through the curves? It's like, oh man, it just becomes really difficult. Why? Because you don't have enough room to anticipate the different things that are going on. You don't have enough distance there because you can't see far enough. So one of the things that's good about driving around curves is to look out ahead. And where your eyes are focused and looking at, your body can just go with that. And you have enough to just do it nice and smooth. Well, imagine that the same thing with your finances. If you're not looking ahead to what the twists and turns can be, then when you're driving in your finances, so to speak, you're jerking around, and sometimes it gets really frightening. You go, oh, that's a little bit too close. And if you're sleeping at the wheel, I did that once. I was out in the country coming from the foothills. We had a concert in a high school outreach, and I just had a really exhausting week, and I came down the hill, and I was going through the things, you know, and I was doing my usual heavy lead foot type thing, and I was driving my boss's wife's Z, and I got a little drowsy, and I woke up, and there's the edge of the road, and whew, off I went. Man, I just barely survived. That thing went over end over end and threw me out somehow, even though I had a seatbelt on. The car was flat, and it was total. And I woke up, and they were putting me on a stretcher, put me in the ambulance. The next day, I went back to work. And collapse. But I, you know, a week later, I was perfectly fine. The Lord had his hand on me. He saved me from a catastrophe. If you're asleep at the wheel with your finances, he may not save you. It might just be a crash and burn. And the consequences are going to be disastrous. You need to be aware of where your money's going and what's happening with your money. So here's a general principle about spending. And I'm just going to say this, even though you probably do this already. Spend less than you earn. Spend less than you make. That's got to be a part of your plan. Well, I didn't want to spend more money than I had. Yeah, but did you plan to not spend? No. Well, the likelihood that you're going to spend more than you have, if you're not planning, is that you will spend more than you have, because there's so many temptations. So many people want your money. And they're so nice. And they promise so many good things if you spend your money. You will be a happier person if you buy this. What do you want in life? Here, buy this, it'll happen. You know, there's a lot of temptation. So you have to plan and say, no, I'm not going to spend more than I earn. So here's a proverb that talks about that. It says, plan carefully and you'll have plenty. Plan carefully and you'll have plenty. If you act too quickly, you will never have enough. So there's a contrast here. Planning carefully and acting too quickly. They are opposites. Planning carefully is something that where you take your time to watch and see what you need to do. not planning too quick, acting too quickly means you just respond to the circumstance without thinking of the overall long-term effects. We, as a country, we get ads in the newspapers. Sunday, if you get the Sunday paper, half the thing is advertisements. We get advertisements in the mail. If you got email, you get advertisements in the email. You got to watch that. They start flooding you with stuff. Ads everywhere. They send it in the regular mail. You could have I just throw stuff in the garbage all the time. But there's a the reason why they do it is it's successful. It works. There's a sale going on, and it's only going to go for 2 days. Once the 2 days are up, it's gone. And you could save 70%, up to. What does that mean? There's a couple raggedy things that are for 70% off, you know. Likelihood you're going to get 70% off. But here's, I thought this, the language is interesting to me. 70% off, okay? You can save by spending. Now that's clever. You can save if you spend. Come on now, we want to help you. We want to save you money, come and spend. Now, I'm not opposed to savings, and I'm not opposed to sales, but if you had planned on spending, then you have the temptation to say, well, I spent the money we don't have, but I saved. We in America spend what we earn or spend more than we earn, and we buy more than we can afford. That is us as a culture. That's what's happened to us in the last 40 years. We've become a culture that buys on credit, that spends more than it has. And now our government is following our example. They're doing just like us. They spend more than they have. Deficit spending. All spending has some kind of deficit to it. But deficit spending means you spend what you don't have, and you got trouble, because sometime down the road you're going to have to pay for this. So here's some questions that you have to ask yourself if you're going to spend less than you earn. First thing, and this is very simple, but it's sometimes we don't do this. You have to know what you earn. You need to know how much money you have. I thought I was going to have this amount of money, but I only have this amount of money. Well, that's not a good thing. You need to know how much money you're going to earn, how much you have. Now, my father was a carpenter, and his money that he earned varied on the season. Some parts of the year, there was a lot of work, and he'd work overtime. He'd work on Saturdays. He'd work a lot. But then in the other season, there wouldn't be much work. The weather would be different, and they just wouldn't be building as much. So he had to budget knowing that fact, that he'd only have this amount of money at this time of year and this amount of money at that time of year. So he had to make savings here so it'd last over here. You just need to know how much money you're going to have. And the best you can to try to figure that out. Most of us have a regular paycheck, but there are others that don't. So it's more difficult to plan. And next thing, if you're going to spend less than you earn, you need to know what you spend your money on. Where does the money go? You ask someone who doesn't plan, and you say, where'd the money go? Don't know. That stuff just sneaks away, just walks off all by itself. You know, I found that if I have a lot of cash in my pocket, so where'd that 50 bucks go? I got a coffee. And I spent it on some gum. And the rest just went by itself. You have to keep track of it. That the first scripture again. Know how your sheep are doing. Know how your Lincolns are doing and how your Thomas Jeffersons are doing. How all those guys are doing. Where they're at. Where they're going. Keep track of them. Don't want to lose them. Now, another term for this is called budget. The word budget. And this means you avoid impulse buying. Marketers count on it. That's why all that stuff up the big right in the front where you go to the grocery store have all this little stuff. I just get a Coke here and just while you're waiting. If you don't write a list out, a lot of times you buy things that you wouldn't really want to buy. Now, if you have a budget and it says you have that kind of discretion, that's fine. But if you're on a tight budget, you can't afford those kind of things. You can't do that. You have to be watching this stuff. Another thing you'd be good in planning is to set long-term goals. Long-term goals. You're looking out ahead of what you want to see happen and what you want to see accomplished. And that will take finances. Most of us are not so wealthy that, I need a car, so I'm just going to go down and plunk that $20,000 and buy that car. We have to plan. And here's the thing. I have this amount of money. I have this amount of money. And, I'm going to buy one of those. Those are kind of cool. I budget this money for something else. That's right, I'll just spend it again. You can't do that. They won't let you do that. They won't say, hey, could I have that dollar back? I really want to buy this too with the same dollar. You can't. You can only buy one thing with that money at a time. So you have to plan for it. And when you plan for it, you're saying, but this money is for that. Because that's where I want to go. That's what I want to accomplish with these finances. So for me to be able to do that, I can't buy that. For instance, this year we had the trip to Mexico. It cost money. They don't just say, hey, come on down. That'd be nice, but it doesn't work that way. And so you're saying, Lord, I feel you want me to go to Mexico. So I'm hoping that the money shows up somehow. Probably won't happen. But God wanted me to go to Mexico. Yes. And he gave you the money. What do you mean he gave you the money? The money you had was the money he gave you. What did you do with it? I'd been thinking about it for 6 months going. But I just spent it. And then when it came time to go, I had no money. You lose out on opportunities. You really wanted to see that happen, but it didn't happen. Why? Because you didn't plan. And you didn't prepare for it. Now here's the maturity, definition of maturity. Giving up today's desires for future benefits. Giving up today's desires for future benefits. You're planning long-term, and you're going to have to give up those immediate desires for something so that you can accomplish something in the future for your good. Next, here's another principle of managing your money and getting financial freedom. Avoid getting into debt. Avoid getting into debt. Now, getting out of debt is good too. But avoiding debt is even better, of not getting into debt at all. Because here's the thing, if I borrow money, I'm obligated to repay it. Well, that sounds strange. You mean if I borrow money, I got to pay it back? You mean I can't continue to do with my money what I want? No, you can't. Once you've spent it and you're in debt, you can't spend anymore. You have to pay them back. You're obligated. Did you know it's a sin not to pay your debts? It's a sin. God doesn't like that. He doesn't honor that. You made a commitment, basically. Now, here's the thing about it. Borrowing money is easy. You ever heard this? 20 easy payments. I think they're liars. Payments have never been easy for me. Have you had... Here's payment number 10. Oh, this is so easy. I can hardly wait to number 11 coming along. I just this is easy. It's not easy payments. It's easy borrowing. Payments are hard. It seems like it takes forever to pay it off when it was so easy to get it. It's only so much that, you know, that's only so much a month. And okay. Well, you just locked yourself in. That's what you're obligated to. Now, here's the thing. What if I said, okay, it's 20 easy payments to save up for it? It's the same thing, except it's before you get it. I'm going to make 20 easy payments so that I can buy it. See, this is where they advertise it. This is, it's clever. Only 20 easy payments and it's yours. What are they saying here? It ain't yours yet until you give me the 20 payments. But it doesn't seem that way. You get it and it's yours. No, it's all mine. No, it's not yours. You haven't paid for it yet. Yes, I did. I gave my credit card. You didn't pay for it. You borrowed money to get it. You still don't own it. It's still not yours. So avoiding into debt. Here's the problem with debt. The word is bondage. People who have a lot of debt have a lot of stress. They have no freedom. They're in bondage. Proverbs 22:7 says this, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." You're serving the lender. Now, when you go to work, you're not working for yourself. You're working to pay off your bills. You're serving the lender. No, that's not true. Yes, it is. You mean, when I go to work and they pay me and it's not my money and I can do whatever I want with it? No, you can't. If you don't do that, if you don't pay what you owe, people come after you. They make these calls all the time. They write bad things about you in little journals that nobody else reads except for other people who want to lend you money. Because you owe them. And you work for them until you get them paid off. Now, the reason why I get in debt is, number one, I lack discipline or contentment. We'll talk about contentment a little later, but I lack discipline. I have to have discipline. Did you know discipline is the fruit of the Spirit? It's called self-control. It's one of the things about the Lord that is beautiful. He was under control. Can you imagine Jesus going, "I bought 12 of these things." And the disciples are going, "I thought we were giving that money to the poor." "Well, I don't know. I just had to have it." That's not like the Lord at all. Self-control, discipline. Number two, I'm either searching for security or significance. How many of our things that we buy is because we want to look a certain way to other people? As though the things that we own say how much we're worth. How valuable you are. There's nothing... That's not true. That's a lie. The thing that's valuable about you is the character and person inside. It's not what you wear. It's not what you drive. It's not where you sleep. It's not what you own. All these things don't give you significance. Real significance comes from God. Another aspect of financial freedom is building an emergency fund. Building an emergency fund. Proverbs 21:20 says this, "The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets." I know what that's about. I've done that before. Proverbs 13:11, the last part of it, second half of it says, "But money that is gathered little by little will grow." Instead of spending everything I have, I take a little bit and save it. And little by little, it grows. And as it grows, it becomes more. That's pretty simple. Now, here's the thing that will war against that is the idea that I can take a shortcut. Get rich quick. It never works. I went to Oklahoma this week. I had a funeral to do back there. And I flew in on Monday and met with the folks there. And it was interesting to me. The state of Oklahoma has a lot of different Indian tribes. I really didn't know that. I've heard these names before. And then, you know, you see, I looked at all the street names and the names of all these tribes there. And as we were driving through Oklahoma, you see this, the Chickasaw Nation. I thought, wow, that's an Indian tribe. And the Shawnee, the Seminole, all these different Indian tribes, you know, in Oklahoma. And did you know the number one industry for the Indian tribes? Casinos. Gambling. That's their number one industry. I think it's pretty close to number one industry in California. We got casinos and things everywhere where you can lose your money really fast. And I was talking to one of the guys in the family, and he was saying, yeah, I get these things in the mail all the time, these special offers. They will fly me to some place out of state for dirt cheap. You can't believe it. They would fly, and they will give you money. They'll give you $100 to go to the casino. Now, why is that? Because once you get there, they believe you'll spend more money than they paid. And they'll make money off of you. Now, how is that? The draw is that I can make money quick. I'll have $100 and I'll turn it into $1,200. I saw people do it. Saw one person do it. They don't tell you, though, when they have that picture of that person won $2,000, they came back the next day and lost it all. You don't see, that's wishfulness. That's wishful thinking. It doesn't work. Proverbs 6:6-8. Learn a lesson from the way the ants live. Nobody has to tell them what to do, but they store up their food during the summer, getting ready for winter. Now, can you imagine someone who's thinking, you know, I got to get some saving. I got some money. I got to get money to buy something. So I'm going to go to the casino. That's dumb. That's not how you get money. That's not how you save money. That's not how you build an emergency fund. The purpose of saving is to be prepared for unknown future spending needs. Because we don't always know all what's in the future. Sometimes there's things that we didn't know was going to happen. And you have expenses that you weren't prepared for. So you what? You have an emergency fund. You've put a savings aside so you can pay for those things when they come up. Now, if you're counting on spending everything you have and it's all allocated to every little thing and you're not prepared for anything going wrong, you're going to be in debt. You're going to have to put it on a credit card. You're going to have to borrow money. And once you borrow the money, oh, that's okay. I'll just take the extra here and put it on there, and it'll be gone in 6 months. How many of you have done that and you still have it on your card 2 years later? It's not uncommon. It's harder to pay it off. So again, it's better to have be prepared for it so that the unexpected future needs are going to be met. Here's three types of savings. Unpredictable emergencies, predictable needs, like getting new tires. They don't last forever, I understand. Plan future goals. Education. You want to take the mega vacation that you've waited for all your life. You got to plan for that and you got to save for it. It'll never happen unless you do. So these things are what we save for. Next point in dealing with finances. You may not think this has to do with finances, but it really does. Enjoy what God has given you. It's a very important principle in enjoying to manage your finances. You have to enjoy what God has given you. Proverbs 21, verse 17, it says, indulging in luxuries, wine, and rich food will never make you wealthy. Now, what is he saying there? Trying to keep up with people who are rich will not make you wealthy. That's not the way to look at things. To always trying to have something to make you happy. You feel like, well, look at there. They got this, they got that. That I would be happy if I had those. So you get them. You're living in a tent, but boy, you got a nice car. This is not the way that you are made to handle your finances. God gives you these things. He gives you what you have. And he wants you to use it to enjoy. Now, if you believe the lie that the more I have, the happier I'll be, you won't be happy. If that were true, all the rich people in the world would be the happiest people in the world. And they aren't. They have a lot of stuff, but that doesn't make them happy. Let's try this little experiment on, okay? I'm just going to try a little experiment on. Let's see. You have a friend who has a 3-bedroom apartment on the ocean. You have another friend that has a nice big SUV. You have another person who has a boat for skiing. You have another person who has a nice big house, 2,500 square foot house in the suburbs. You have another person who has, and you have 10 people that have all these things. And they say, please take care of it for me. That's what it's like having a lot of stuff being rich. You just have a lot of stuff to take care of. Most of your time is spent on taking care of things and working to pay for the things that you got. A lot of times people are working so much, they have no time to enjoy the things they have. So what do? They put it in storage. Does this make sense to you? So the key here is that you need to focus on what you have, not on what you don't have. Focus on what you have and not what you don't have. Don't compare yourself with other people. And keep those advertisements away. I'm serious. The more I look at catalogs, the more I have to fight off wanting to buy something. I used to have these obsessions from time to time. Remember when I was young, I thought, wow, a camera. That would be fantastic, get a camera. So what did I do? I looked at cameras. And you know what? There are a lot of cameras. And they have so many things that you could put with the cameras. Different kinds of lens, filters, different kinds of, all kinds of stuff that you can get for your cameras. And I was spending every, looking at catalogs and totaling it up. Oh, man, I don't have enough money. If I went this and did, okay, I know what I'll do. I'll get my dad to go in on it with me. Dad, and I had to, Dad, you really, this camera, and you would take good pictures. He was terrible taking pictures. I don't care if the camera wouldn't walked up and did it itself. His pictures would be terrible. But anyhow, he went for it. And I bought this camera. And I think I still have it in the closet somewhere. I'm not sure. But I bought it. I took a few pictures. And then guess what? I need a stereo. And you can just go from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. And your money's all taken up. Then you wonder, what do I have? Well, I have a closet full of old things that need some new things. Because if you haven't learned it by now, there's always something new coming out next year. It doesn't do three things, it does five. And boy, do you need that fifth thing that it does. They keep you discontented with whatever you have. And therefore, you don't enjoy what you have. This stupid old camera, it doesn't even do that. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Contentment is being happy and grateful with what you have. Here's a question, or here's a statement I want you to think about here. Here's a sentence. Complete this sentence. I'll be happy when I have blank. If you have something to put in that blank, then you're not content. And if you can think of a lot of things to put in that blank, you're not a happy person. Because you're waiting for the future to come before you can be happy. And happiness and enjoying things happens now, not in the future. You can't enjoy things in the future. It's only now that you can enjoy things. Finally, another part of finance, a very important part, being financially free, is make giving to God a priority. Make giving to God a priority. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits, or the first part of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, there's a lot of reasons why this is an important thing. And notice that it says first fruits, which would be another way in that country in that time to say you give your first part of your harvest, the best of your harvest. So that means when you give from the top, not from the leftovers. You understand what I'm saying? So you harvest all your crops, and you take it and wrap it up and all the stuff, sell it and get buy these things, and then you go, oh yeah, I have to get something for the Lord. What do I have left? Oh, there's something. Take this, Lord. You can have that. The likelihood that you'll be giving shrinks when you go with what's left over. If it's not a part of your plan to give, then you're planning on not giving, because it won't happen. Most likely. And it's a way that I state what's important in my life. So giving is a way to show that God is first in my life. It's a way to show that God is first in my life. Giving is an act of worship. The word worship, of course, in the Old English is worth-ship. Something that's valuable. When you worship something, you have the highest value for that thing that you worship. And if God is not the most valuable thing in your life, then you're not worshiping Him. And a lot of times, by how I spend my money, how I invest my money, will show what is important to me. Now, for instance, when I give, I'm giving to something that God considers to be valuable and important. We give to God's work. We give to the needs of people who are in trouble or who are in need, the poor. We give money to these things because they're important to God. That's what He values. And when we come close to God, we start to value what He values. And if we don't value what He values, hope you're following me here, we're not valuing God. Now, how's that? Now, this is not a very good analogy, but I'm going to give it anyhow. Let's say, for instance, you have a child, and they love sports, especially one sport. And they say, I would really like to play, be involved in this sport. I think it'd be good for me. I'd learn all kinds of good things, develop my character, blah, blah, blah. And they give you a good sales pitch. But you know what? It's not important to you. Having them go play baseball is not important to you. So what do? You spend money on yourself. No, I can't. I don't want to buy that. No, I don't want to pay for that. Now, how do they feel? I'm not important. I'm not valuable. Because what I think is important is not important to you. And not that God needs money. See, that's where it breaks down. God doesn't need our money. But here's the thing. When I start to value what He values, I start to change. And my heart is being changed by my giving. First of all, giving helped me to deal with greed, always wanting more. If I give money away, it's hard. Greed is being dealt with. If I give it to God, the Bible says, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. So if I want my heart to be drawn to God, I give it to the things that God values, that is important to God. And my heart is changed. You know, changing your heart is a hard thing. One of the ways that God has you do that is by being obedient to Him and giving to Him and make it the first thing in your budget. It's the first thing in my budget. I get my check. There goes to the tithe. Goes to the work of God. Right off. Bad. It's a habit. Done for years. I didn't always do that. What I found is that I looked at my giving statement and I go, whoa, I wanted to do it every month, but I didn't. And whoa, I thought I gave more than that. But I didn't. Why? Because I didn't plan on it. I didn't make that a habit. And my mind, my heart was drawn to the things that I spent my money on. And I found myself less passionate about God because of that. Who would have thought that budgeting my money for the things of God made me a better Christian? It did. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that you speak to every area of life, even to our finances. And our finances can play a part in our spiritual life. Lord, you want us to prosper, but in things that will really prosper our soul, not things that will rob us of spiritual and eternal worth. Father, we pray you help us now as we look at these principles and pray that you'd help us to put them into practice in our lives. We thank you, Lord, and pray these things in your name. Amen. Let's stand and sing, "Blessed Be Your Name."